Today's daf is Kritu Daf Chaf. We're going to just review a little bit from yesterday and get started with today because it's all a little bit connected. So just to review, we had a Mishnah on Yotet where it gave cases of two Isurim in front of you. Right? You ended up Chelev and Otar. He ate one of them and he doesn't know which one he ate. And then we had a machlok at Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, whether you're chayav a chatat or not. Right? We had two women. He sleeps with one of them. One's his wife, Anita. One's his wife's sister. His sister.
My confusion.
Right. either way. Okay. Then the Yom Kippur one, where there was a bit of a debate, what exactly was the Shabbat Yom Kippur case. Then we had these two lines in the Mishnah, which we're going to deal with a lot today, which is Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shizui said that lo nechleku ela davar shehu mishem echad shehu chayav. Aman nechleku, everyone agrees that if it was one name, okay, like it was Shabbat and Shabbat, or it was, you know, something, two women in Nida, okay, then you're going to be chayav chatat, because you intend to sleep with the woman in Nida, and you in fact sleep, or actually I'm confused now with a different case. It's the case of, where you're not sure which one you did, but it's one or the other. So Rabbi Shimon, but then they say, what's the case? Aman nechleku al davar shu mishum shnei shemot. Okay, it's a case where there's two different names. Nida, Achoto, Shabbat, Yom Kippurim. Okay, that's the machloket. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, and he has two parts to it. Today we're going to focus more on the first part of it and on the very end part of it, not the middle so much. But Rabbi Yehuda says, this I learned from my rabbis, which was, Afilu lilkot te'inim v'liket anavim, or anavim v'liket te'inim, shchorot v'liket levanot, levanot v'liket shchorot. Okay, you intended to pick te'inim and you picked anavim, or you intended to pick anavim and you picked te'inim, right? It's the same act, or black ones and black figs and you took white ones, or white figs and you took black ones. So there's going to be a machloket, or you chayav chatat or not. Okay, so here we have your intent was one thing, you did something else. Now, he says only, now here it's obvious, if it was te'inim and te'inim, the same type of te'inim, right, that would be okay. Right, or sorry, what does it mean it would be okay? You clearly be chayav chatat. The machloket is only when there's two shemot. Now we're going to see soon that doesn't that sound just like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shizuri that distinguishes between two shemot and one shemot. Okay? Then the next line is that he says, Timhani im patar ba Rabbi Yoshua. In other words, it seems strange that Rabbi Yoshua would be poter in that case. And then they say, according to you, in ken lama ne'amar asher chataba, prat limit asik. Comes to exclude the case of a mitasek. Okay, again, a mitasek is someone who intends one act and a different act happens instead. Okay, I'm going to go back to what you said, Ruth, yesterday about the gorer mitakiser safsal, right? You're dragging something and it makes a hole in the ground. That was the case you brought, right? So I couldn't remember which category it falls into. It's devashen and mitkaven. Because you're not intending to make a ditch, but while you're dragging the bench, you're creating a ditch. That's Devar She'en Mitkaven. But there, what's the difference? There you're intending an act that is going to cause a hole to be dug. Whereas here your intention is to do something else. But when your intent is to do something else, accidentally something else happens. There you did have intent for the action. You didn't really want to do the action. You didn't want the hole to be dug. You intended to drag and you knew there'd be a ditch, but you didn't want the hole. You didn't want the ditch. Whereas here, you didn't even intend to do the act, okay? Then, on yesterday's daf at the bottom, okay, we had this statement of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Okay, so I'm just going to start there for a minute, and then we'll skip the first question. But Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, mitasek b'chalavim v'arayot chayav, shekein nehene, right? If you're mitasek b'chalav and arayot, you're going to be chayav no matter what. In that case, mitasek is chayav. What case are you going to be pacher? B'Shabbat Patur. Why? Melechet Machshevet Asra Torah. By the way, I read a line not exactly the right way yesterday. When we brought in this in the first place, the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, we said, what's the case of Mitasek in the Mishnah? It can't be Chelev and Arayot. It must be Shabbat. I said, and it can't be Shabbat because it's obvious it's Patur, but no. It really meant that the Mishnah, when it says Mitasek is Patur, it meant Shabbat. It makes, you know, the Mishnah has three parts to it. It has Chelev, Arayot, and Shabbat. So what Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, when the Gemara was trying to figure out what's the case, and then they said, just like Rav Nachman said, that the case of mita'asek that you're going to be patur can't relate to chelev and arayot, because when you get hana'ah, mita'asek is not going to exempt you. must be talking about Shabbat. And Shabbat, again, why is Matasik Patur? Because you need Melechet Machshevet. You need to have intent. Okay? And that'll also, I'll also clarify one other thing about yesterday. After that, we had then brought a machloket. So after he says, Mita'asek on Shabbat is patur, we then brought the case of the two babies needing a brit milah, right? And one needs it on Shabbat, and one his day is not Shabbat, and the mo'al does the wrong child. And there we say the mo'al is patur because he intended for a mitzvah, which makes it sound like if he didn't intend for a mitzvah, he'd be chayav. Why? Isn't he mita'asek? And the Gemara's answer was, the reason is, since mekalkel, and it's theoretically, you would be chayav in a mitasek case in this case, if it weren't for a mitzvah. And the reason is, mekalkel b'chabura, because since mekalkel b'chabura is chayav, mitasek b'chabura is chayav. And I ended saying, I wasn't really sure I understood the connection. Why, if mekalkel b'chabura is chayav, then mitasek will also be chayav. But I figured out later, which is, mekalkel b'chabura, why is mekalkel patur? Generally, because it's not Melechet Machshevet. It's a destructive act, not a creative act. Melechet Machshevet means it has to be a creative act. So if Mekalkel in Chabura is Chayav, it shows that you don't need Melechet Machshevet for the Melecha of Chabura. Chabura is going to be Chayav even if it's not Melechet Machshevet. So therefore, if you do it in a Mitasek manner, where it's also not Melechet Machshevet, you'll be Chayav. Okay? So they said this is just an exception to the rule. Okay? We're going to have now another question. We're going to have three questions against Shmuel. So that was the first. Okay, I put it in the sheet today. I kind of structured it. I started from the beginning there, and I brought the first koshi in the answer. Okay, that's a unique case. Now we're on the second question against Shmuel. Eti be Rabbi Yehuda l'Shmuel. We're about 7 or 8 lines from the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda omer mitkaven l'lakei te'enim v'lakei te'anavim, anavim v'lakei te'enim, shchorot v'lakei levanot, levanot v'lakei shchorot. Rabbi Lezer machayev chatap, Rabbi Yeshua poter. That's our mission. Okay? Now, what does he say? B'ha'acha mit'aseku. Isn't that a case of mit'asek? You wanted to pick te'enim, and what did you pick instead? Anavim. You were picking figs, and instead you pick grapes. Well, that's a case of mit'asek. Right? You picked the wrong thing. That wasn't what you intended. You didn't intend for that. And what does it say, right? Rabbi Yeshua, lo kapatar ela min mina lemina. Ava b'chad mina afilu Rabbi Yeshua mechayev. So he says here, what's the problem here? We have a machloket, right? The machloket, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says you're patur. But when Rabbi Yeshua, so first of all, Rabbi Lezer is going to be a problem because how can you exempt someone in mita'asek? Rabbi Yeshua, who says you're patur, is only saying you're patur if it's te'enim and anavim. But if I intended to pick that fig, and instead I picked a different fig, that should also be a case of mitasek. So, how could that possibly be that Rabbi Yeshua is mechayev? Okay, so we're basically saying, doesn't make sense if we really hold, like Shmuel, that mitasek is patur in any case in Shabbat. Again, we made one exception about in the case of chabura. Okay, there you'll be chayav. But in a regular malacha, like picking, right, kotzer, theoretically, this sounds like a case of mitasek. So what do we answer? Amar le, so Shmuel says to his student, Rav Yehuda, who was saying this, as Rav Yehuda asked the following question to Shmuel, and Shmuel says, this often happens, where Shmuel calls Rav Yehuda shinina. You're my brilliant student, you're right. Shvok matnita v'tabatrai. It's a beautiful phrase. Leave the Mishnah and come follow me. Okay? In other words, I'm going to give you a different interpretation of that Mishnah. The Mishnah didn't mean what you think it means. Okay? The Mishnah's going to get a little more complicated now. Hacha b'mayaskinan, and this makes me feel better because, you know, sometimes you look at these cases, you say these cases are crazy, but this happens to me all the time where you're thinking about one thing and then immediately you lose your train of thought and you all of a sudden you're somewhere else, right? So, what's the case? So, you know, I wanted to preface it because otherwise you read this case and you say that's ridiculous, but I think we all know that often you're in the middle of something and you get distracted and all of a sudden you start thinking immediately about something else. You don't even remember what you were doing. Okay, right? This happens with phones all the time, right? You go on your phone to write to someone and then a second later you see something on your phone and you open your phone and then you can't even remember who you were planning to write to in the first place.
You were doing that in the first place anyway.
What?
Even if you were remembering it, then you'd write your phone because you had something.
Right, exactly. So, what's the case? Kigon sha'avad milakeit milibo. The milakeit lost his train of thought. Okay, that's what it means. Right, libo is often sent, it's the heart, but it really means his thinking. Nitzkaven lelaket anavim. He planned to pick grapes. Vishachach, then he forgot. Now, again, what are we trying to figure out? Why anyone would be b'chayiv in a case like this, right? Because if it's midasek, you're supposed to be patur, according to Shmuel. So he intended to pick grapes. Then he forgot what he was doing. V'savor te'inim be'ina. And then he thought, oh, maybe I really need figs. Okay, right? This is, let's give an example, right? The wife sends the husband to pick something, and he goes, and he can't remember all of a sudden, wait, what did my wife want, right? Did she want figs or grapes? He thinks, oh, no, she wanted figs. He forgot. So now, v'halcha yado al anavim. And then, but as he was picking the figs, accidentally he ended up picking the grapes. So now, his original intent was done, but what's he missing? He's missing the thought, machshava, at the time of his action. Because at the time of his action, he thought about figs. Even though originally his intent was grapes. I know you're laughing. It's a funny case.
I've done
it. So, you've done it. Okay, yafeh. So, what happens? Rabbi Elazar savar. Now we have to explain the machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua and the Mishnah based on that this is the case. Rabbi Elazar savar harina eshtal kavanato. In the end, his intent was done. Really, what he needed was the grapes, and that's what he got. So his real intent was done. Rabbi Yoshua savar harelona eshtal kavanato umachshavto. What he means here is you need both kavana and machshava. You have kavana, but you're missing machshava. You didn't have the machshava at the time of the act. So now we've taken it out of a classic case of midasek. If it was a classic case of midasek, again, this was all to explain Shmuel, who said midasek is patur, right? So midasek, classic midasek is patur. Here we have a weird case where, again, the original kavana and the last kavana was correct, was the right thing. He did the right thing, and that's why Rabbi Yeshua is going to say you're chayav. And sorry, one second. Did I just flip the sheet up? I flipped the sheet up by accident. Rabbi Lezer is going to say you're chayav, and Rabbi Yoshua is going to be poter, because Rabbi Yoshua says, in the end, your machshava was off at the right at the time. Okay, next question. Again from our Mishnah. Mati Bravo Shaya. Third question, and for this, I started charting it out on the top chart on the sheet, matches this. Okay, what I put on the sheet here is, we're going to have Rabbi Shimon Chazuri and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. What I first put on the sheet was the way we explain the Mishnah according to Shmuel now in this weird case, what we call Avad Melaket Milibo, okay, where he lost his train of thought. And now we're going to have a question on the Mishnah based on Shmuel saying Mitasik is Patur. Mativ Rav Hoshaya, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri and Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Lo Nechleku al Davar Shehu Mishem Echad, Shehu Chayav. Everyone agrees, if you intended to do one, you did something else, right? But it's got the same name, you're going to be chayav. Ela ama nechleku al davar shehu mishum shnei shemot. Shevelezer mechayev chatav, Rabbi Yeshua poter. And Rabbi Yehuda mai ka'amar, depligei benitkaven lokot anavim v'liket te'inim. Shchorov v'liket levanot, anavim u'te'inim, v'liket levanot, anavim u'te'inim, shchorot u'levanot, mai nihu. What's this category that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about? Anavim and te'inim. Or shchorot and levano, right? Black and white figs. What are these? These are two shemot. Hainu, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda mai ata lashmuinan. They're really saying one and the same thing because they're both talking about the difference between two shemot and one shem, right? Is it? It's the same concept standing behind both of them. Right, so therefore, as Rabbi Shimon Shazuri and Rabbi Shimon are really talking about the case of chelev and notar. It has to be chelev and notar and not two chelevs, or it has to be a nida and a choto and not. And Rabbi Yoshua is taking it a little bit more to this case where you intended one thing and did something else. But in the end, they're both distinguishing between two shemot and one shem. So they're really saying the same thing, in which case, once Rabbi Shimon Shazuri say this, what is Rabbi Yehuda adding? He's basically saying the same thing. So, they assume, in order to question Shmuel, who said midasek is patur, they're going to assume, right, sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a midasek type case. So what are they going to say? Elalav, midasek ikabenayu, do Rabbi Yehuda savar midasek chayav, and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri savre midasek patur. So now they're going to say the following, and here I charted it on the chart, you could see it a little better. That again, look at Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri on the chart. So the machloket is b'shnei shemot, but if you're doing it in a mitasek manner, everyone's going to agree you're patur. Rabbi Yehuda comes to say the machlokas b'shtei shemot, and mit'asek is actually going to be chayav if it's one shem. If you're mit'asek, if you're mit'asek te'anim and anavim, right? That was really the case he was talking about. You meant to pick anavim and you pick te'anim. That sounds like mit'asek, but it's two shemot. So what he's coming to say is mit'asek b'shnei shemot, you're going to be patur. But if you're mit'asek b'shem echad, you're going. In mit'asek b'shnei shemot, that's the machloket between them. And mit'asek is going to be chayav if it's shem echad. Okay, now in this case, you're going to have a problem with Shmuel, who says the mit'asek is always patur. So how could it possibly be that he says that everyone agrees that mit'asek is going to be chayav if it's b'shem echad? So that's their assumption that what the machloket is. Obviously, we're going to end up saying that's clearly not the machloket, because if that were the machloket, again, it would disagree with what Shmuel said, and we want to make what Shmuel said make sense with the Mishnah. So, so let's just read it inside. So Rabbi Yehuda Savar Mitasek Chayav, Rabbi Shimon Savar Mitasek Patur. Okay, that's what we said. Lo, now the Gemara says, no, that's not the case. Mitasek Divrei HaKol Patur. Really, everybody agrees Mitasek is Patur. That's not what they're talking about in the Mishnah. V'hacha v'hacha miflege. What's the root of their machloket? To Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Savar, Shachach Melakeit Milibo, this is the same as Ava Melakeit Milibo, he lost his train of thought, B'Shem Echad. If you lose your train of thought, according to Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, you lose your train of thought with one name. Again, what does that mean? It means, I went to pick figs. I wanted a particular fig. Then I forgot that that was the fig I wanted. I went to pick the other fig. And then by accident, I picked the original fig. Okay? In that case, Divrei HaKol Chayav. Everyone's going to agree you're Chayav because in the end, you both picked the fig you were intending to pick. And even if you had, even if at the time of the act you had a machshava on a different fig, it's all figs. What's the difference, really? Okay, so you're going to be Chayav. You really did an intentional act. Ki pligi b'shnei shemot. The machloket is, to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, is if there's two shemot. If, again, what's the case? You wanted te'anim. Then you forgot, or let's say we started with our original case. You wanted grapes. You forgot. You thought you wanted figs. When you went to pick it, your head was thinking about figs, even though your real original intent was grapes, and you accidentally picked grapes. So now your original intent is done. That's the machloket again, as we saw. What does Rabbi Lezer say, right? And what does Rabbi Yeshua say? They each think, right, is important. Do you need to have both kavanah and machshava? That's Rabbi Yeshua, and here you didn't. You didn't have machshava. Or according to Rabbi Lezer, in the end, your intent was done, so you're chayav achatat. Okay? And again, we're going to keep distinguishing. It's obvious that according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, we have to distinguish between one shem and two shemot, because that's exactly what they say in the Mishnah. Right? Their words were, and that's why I charted it so you would see it. Al davarshu, right? Lo nechleku al davarshu mishem echad. They were nechleku al davarshu mishem shnei shemot. Right? Shem echad, everyone agrees, chayav, according to him. So the case is, avam lekeit milibo. That's the case. Okay, now, we're going to have to explain, according to this, what's Rabbi Yehuda then? So, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, now notice, Rabbi Yehuda's Lashon talked about the same case, right? Again, according to Shmuel, what did we say? Rabbi Yehuda is talking about also Avam Melakeit Milibo. He intended for one thing, something else, right? Then he forgot his intention and then went to do the second intent and accidentally did the first. But it's a little, what doesn't he mention in his wording? He doesn't say machloket b'shem echad or b'shtei shemot. Now we assumed, since his case was te'anim and anavim, or white figs and black figs, that he was talking about shnei shemot. But now what do they say? Rabbi Yehuda savar lo shna b'shem echad ve'lo shna b'shnei shemot pligi. He really is saying, okay, that really the machloket is shem echad shnei shemot. It's all the chidush is, he brought a case with shnei shemot, but theoretically it could have also been b'shem echad. B'shem echad, they're also going to have a machloket. Okay? That's his chidush, that even b'shem echad, they're gonna have a machloket. But a real case of mit'asek, where your intent wasn't done at all, and that's, which was the pshat of the Mishnah, even though we're now away from the pshat. Remember, Shmuel said, forget that pshat, come with me and I'll teach you a different pshat. But what sounded like the pshat was, you really intended for grapes, right? And you ended up picking te'anim, right? That's a real case of mit'asek, okay? And in that case, everyone agrees that you're going to be patur. And that fits in with Shmuel. Okay? So again, what do we have? Shmuel says, mitasek is patur. Everyone here in our Mishnah agrees that mitasek is patur. The machloket, Rabbi Shimon Chazuri, versus Rabbi Yehuda is there machloket only, again, the topic of the machloket is avad melaket milibo, where he forgot what he was intending. He started with grapes. He thought about figs. Then he ended up accidentally getting grapes, where his original intent was done. And the machloket is, are you going to be, is there a machloket in that case, meaning some people think you're going to be chayav, as opposed to a classic mitasek where you're patur, some people think you're going to be chayav, right, in a case of avam melakeh milibo, only if it's shnei shemot, I'm sorry, only if it's shem echad, or even if it's shnei shemot, okay? So, according to, right, 1 second, machloket b'shnei shemot, and according to, right, everyone's going to, according to Rabbi Shimon Chazuri, Shem Echad, you're clearly going to be Chayav. The question is, if it's Shnei Shemot, is someone going to say you're Chayav? And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's going to be a Machloket across the board. Okay? Shnei Shemot, Shem Echad. Where they get this in the Mishnah is not so clear. Now, that's why they want to diverge, but the main thing that's pushing them is Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say Shnei Shemot, Shem Echad, and therefore, even though his case is Shnei Shemot, but they're going to jump and assume that he meant even Shem Echad, because they have to come up with some difference between them. Okay, a different possible answer, okay, of the difference between them. Again, the whole struggle is, what's the difference between them? They both seem to be talking about Shem Echad versus Shnei Shemot. And then the Machloket's only B'Shnei Shemot. So again, what do we say? According to this interpretation, Rabbi Yehuda is actually talking about Shnei Shemot and Shem Echad. Rava is going to say that the difference, it's also going to be the same thing, where we're going to distinguish between Shem Echad and Shnei Shemot. But the issue is not avad melakeh milibo. The issue is going to be something a little different. Rava amar likadem ikabenayu. What is likadem? It means you intended first to pick the grapes, then to pick the figs. And instead, first you pick the figs, and then you pick the grapes. Okay? So, if it's first you picked one fig, and then you pick the other fig when you intended to pick the figs in the other order, that Rabbi Shimon Chazuri and Rabbi Shimon are going to say, you're clearly chayav, because in the end you picked figs in a different order. Who really cares what order you did it in? But if you have Shnei Shemot, then we're going to have a machloket. Are you chayav or patur? Right? One opinion will say you're actually patur in that case because you switched the order. The order is important. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the machloket's going to be whether it's Shem Echad or whether it's Shnei Shemot, there's going to be a machloket. It's not going to be clear-cut that b'Shem Echad you're going to be chayav, okay? So in both cases, Rabbi Yehuda's coming to say Shem Echad and Shnei Shemot are the same, but for what particular issue are they the same? Is it in the case of Avah Melakeh Milibo, where you got confused in the middle, or is it in the case of you switch the order of things, of actions? Now we're going to see a braita that supports Rava's reading, that there's significance to switching the order of actions and that might cause it to be not considered a problematic act. The Hatanya, okay, Hatanya writes, often means, isn't there a braita that says, but many, sometimes, and less times than other, but sometimes it means the Hatanya. And behold, we have a braita that's going to prove. Here our braita proves it. Hayu lefanav shtei nerot dokot. He had two candles burning. V'nitkaven l'chabot et zo, v'kiba et zo. He intended to put one of them out on Shabbat, and instead he put out the other one. L'hadlik et zo, v'hidlik et zo. Okay, he intended to light one of them. Instead, he had two candles that were not lit, and he intended to light one, and instead he lit the other. Patur. Okay, in that case, he's patur, because what he wanted to do was not what he actually did. It doesn't mean you're allowed to do this, right? It just means you don't bring a korban chatah for it. L'halik u'lechabot. Okay, this is the case that's important for our purposes. You intended to light one and put out the other. Okay, first light, then put out. Okay, you wanted to light one and then put out another. V'kiba v'hidlik. Instead, you put out one first and then you lit the other. If it's b'nishima achat, if you did it all in one breath, you're chayav. B'shtei nishimot patur. If you did it in two different breaths, right, first you blew one out and then you lit the other one, you're going to be patur. I think there's some sense that when you put one out, it kind of lit the other one, you know, that you kind of were blowing it and it caused the other one to light on fire, that somehow by blowing, right, you caused the fire to light. So therefore, what do you see here? The order is significant, because if you did it in the wrong order, b'shtei nishimot, you're going to be patur, right? If you did it in shlavim and the wrong order that you were intending, you're going to be patur. So this proves Rav. So now the Gemara asks, okay, some people say it's missing the words here. Hidlik b'nishima achat chayav. Sorry, if you did it b'nishima achat chayav, pshita. Isn't that obvious if you do it all in one breath? Then, right, there's no significance to the order if it all happens at once. So what do they say? No, because it's not so pashut. You are chayav anyway, but why is it not so pashut? Ma'u detema lo'it avim machshavte. Tahad la'alik mi'ikarabai ulevasof lechabot. You might have still thought, even though it's b'nishima achat, still, right, this is how far they take machshava. You might have thought, still it wasn't done the way you wanted. So what if it all happened at once? It still wasn't done in the order that you wanted it. And maybe you would have thought, and nobody really thinks you're going to be patur, but they're saying maybe someone might have thought that you'd be patur. Kamashvelan, that's why the bright had to teach you, nihida agdume lo makdim. Even though, I can't remember which was first, but let's say you intended to light it first, and in the end you blew out the other candle first, even though you delayed it, even though you didn't do it first, right? It wasn't the first act you did, but ichure lo ma'acher. But you also didn't delay in doing it because you did it all at the same moment. So in other words, in order for something to be considered having done in the wrong order, it has to have been done with a lapse of time, that it actually was delayed. And here you didn't delay. You did the action at the exact moment you wanted to do the action. It's just you did something first. Something happened first, but it doesn't really matter because in the end, nothing was delayed in terms of your plan. You know, my plan was to do it right now. Well, you did it right now because it was all b'nishima achat. Okay, that was an aside.
They don't talk about being in the dark if they blow it out first.
That you're in the dark. Yeah, but you're in the dark for a split second, so it doesn't really matter. Right. That doesn't.
The next candle is.
Right. Depends how scared you are of the dark.
Or if you can see the next candle.
Right. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Also, it's not clear. Maybe you had other candles lit. You know, you already had two candles here. Maybe another one was lit. Okay. Now, already Rava brought up this concept of, so basically just to summarize until now, I want to keep this, it's a very complicated topic, I want to keep it very clear. We had Shmuel, who said Mitasek is Patur. We brought three questions, two of them from the Mishnah itself, right? One of them, the last one, which really got down to what's the difference between Rabbi Shimon Chazuri and Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, or Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Chazuri. And, right, each time we answered, you could still say mitasek is patur, and here we're dealing with not a classic mitasek case. Okay, it's not your real mitasek, because again, the way we explained the last two questions, right, yesterday's was a different thing, but the two questions on our Mishnah, we ended up explaining that our Mishnah is not talking about a classic mitasek case, because it's a case where the person, his original intent was done. It's just he had some lapse of thought in the middle. Okay, and that's what maybe caused the machloket. And then the question is, Shnei Shemot Shem Echad, what exactly the debate is. In the context of answering this question now that we had, so that's how we explained it. Rava, though, has a different interpretation of the Mishnah and says what we're talking about is order of events. It's not, right, and therefore, it's not a case of mitasek either, according to Rava, because you did what you intended, it's just you did it in a different order. So would we say that that breaks your chiyuv chatat or not? Okay, and that's the machloket. Since here it brings up this issue about order, we're now going to prove from another braita that the issue comes up in another case also. In this case, you can kind of already see on the sikun chart I did at the end, which is that there's going to be four different opinions of this braita, and one of them is Rava, and he explains it that it's talking about the same. He takes that braita and explains it in the same way that he explains our Mishnah, that it's all about the order events were done. Okay, but it's not so clear that that's the issue here. We're going to see four different interpretations of this braita. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. HaChotekech, what I did on the sheet was I ordered it two ways. I made charts and I showed the order of how the flow of the Gemara goes so you can kind of follow along there. Okay, we're right now at the bottom of the first side of my sheet about with the braita. So Tanu Rabbanan. HaChotekech alim b'Shabbat chayav chatat. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer mishim Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok chayav shtayim. Okay. If you stoke the coals on Shabbat, there's a bit of a debate. What are you doing exactly? Are you putting the ones from the top at the bottom and the ones from the bottom on the top? Or are you removing the ones from the top to use them? In which case, the ones at the bottom, okay, what happens is when you remove the coals or when you move them to the bottom, what's going to happen? Either which way, whichever the case is, they're going to have less oxygen. You know, if they're on the bottom, they're going to have less oxygen. They're not going to burn, right? They're going to go out. If they're moved to the side, they're also going to go out, right? That's going to be keyboard. The ones that were at the bottom that now get moved to the top, okay, either because you mix them and you move them to the top, or because you remove the top ones and now they're at the top, are actually going to become kindled. So in that act of stoking the coals, you're both doing kiboy and havara, both burning, right? You're putting out the fire, and you're creating, you're lighting things on fire. So according to the first interpretation, you're chayav chatat. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, you're actually chayav shtayim. Why? Because you're not only, right, the assumption is you're stoking the coals to put out the fire. Okay? So the first opinion is you're just chayav for mechabe, putting out a fire. The second opinion is you're chayav for mechabe and for mavir. Why? Mipnei shehu mechabe ta'elyonot, he's putting out the upper ones, umavir ta'tachtonot, but lighting the bottom ones on fire. So now they say, b'maya askinan. What's the case here? What was his intent, right? I kind of said, but let's just, right? If you were intending both to light, both to blow out the top ones and to light the bottom ones, my time demanded patar. Then why would you be patar from one of them, right? You know, that you'd be chayav for both. Ela delo kamachaven lahavir. If you're not intending to burn them out, to light them on fire, my time demanded chayav tarte. So then, why does the second person say that you're chayav too? So, what's the case? So the first explanation, so because of that problem in the Mishnah, in the Braita, either you had intent for just one act, in which case you should be chayav for one, or you had intent for both, in which case you should be chayav both. So why is there a machloket? One person says one and one person says two. So for that, we're going to have four interpretations of the Braita. So again, you can follow in here, you can follow also in the chart. So what are the answers? Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Chanina da Amrei Travayu kigon shenitchaven lechabot elyonot kidei lahav ir et hatachtonot. Okay, what did you do? You took the coal, either you moved them to the bottom or you took them off, whatever, however you interpret it. You did that in order to light up the bottom ones. So now, what's the issue here? D'tanakama savar mekalkel behavara patur. Okay, now, what's the issue here? When you light the bottom ones, when the coals burn, they disintegrate. So it's really a pu'la of mekalkel, the burning here, right? Burning in general is something disintegrates. So now, we saw this yesterday, that there's two exceptions to mekalkel, according to some opinions. One is chabula, that you're going to be chayav even though it's destructive, and one is havara. So Tanakama holds mekalkel behavara is patur. He actually holds it's not an exception to the rule. You're doing mekalkel, so you're not chayav on havara. And as you really were intending both, but you're only chayav on one because one is a destructive act. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok Amar, chayav, he holds mekalkel behavara is chayav. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'napach shanu. And likewise, Rabbi Yochanan said, we're talking about a blacksmith. What's his goal? Oh, by the way, I didn't say it right. Nitkaven l'chabot elyono kedei l'havir. It's not because you wanted to light the ones. It's that you knew that. It's when you did it. This is a classic Devarshenu Mitkaven. You weren't intending to light the bottom ones. Okay, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan says, we're talking about a napach. What does a blacksmith do? He takes the coals, he takes them off the fire and uses the heat that was generated from them, but he takes them off. He doesn't want them while they're on fire. He takes them off to kind of put them out and use the heat that comes from there. Now, when he did that, though, he knew, it's what we call a psik resha, it's going to happen, right? You can't cut off that of a chicken, psik resha, cut his head off, without him dying. So you can't say, well, I didn't mean to kill him, I just wanted to take off his head, right? So likewise, if you knew, so kidei doesn't mean it's your intent was to light the bottom ones, you really didn't care, but you knew it was inevitable. So since you knew it was inevitable, so again, but yet what you're doing by lighting them up is a destructive act because they're eventually going to disintegrate. So therefore, are you chayav or patur, right, in mekalka b'havara? And likewise, Rabbi Yochanan says, it's been a pach shanu, and therefore what we mean is you really just wanted the coals. You didn't care about the coals that were still in there. You didn't need them lit up for any reason. So it was devar shenu mitkaven, and right, and then the question is, right, devar shenu mitkaven is machloket, are you chayav or patur? But assuming you're chayav, you might not be chayav in this case because the act was destructive. Okay, that's the debate. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. I can lo ni. Oh, and no, everyone agrees you're chayav in a psik reisha case, right? And this is a psik reisha case where it's definitely going to happen. It's inevitable. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, and here's just an interesting line. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ad kan lo nizgal tata mashal halacha zo until I explain." I think some people maybe say it's not Rabbi Yochanan. Actually, I forget, but whoever it was said, you know, until this point, it should be Rabbi Yirmiyah. I knew it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan. The Shita Mekubet said, and the little Ot Yudalah there says it should be Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, until Rabbi Yochanan said this, we didn't understand this halacha. Okay, this wasn't comprehensible till they explained. We were talking about a napach. Okay, so that's the first interpretation. Okay, and then, right, I tried this out. So the case is, he tried to, right, he wanted the Elyonot, but knew that it was inevitable the bottom ones. And the machloket is Makalka Bavar Chayav or Patur. Ami Bar Avin, the Rabbi Chanina Bar Avin, the Amre Travayu, second interpretation, Kigon Shinit Kaven Lechabot Ulahavir. He was intending for both actions. Well, now, what are you going to have to explain? Well, why is Nichayev in both if he was intending for both actions? Well, here's an interesting thing. De Tanakama Savar, if you remember, there's a pasuk that says, you can't be Mavir Eish on Shabbat, right? Lo Tavir Eish B'chomosh Votechem, right? What is it? Right? Lo Tavir Eish or Eish Tol Lo Tavir Eish. Lo Tavir Eish B'chomosh Votechem. The whole thing is, if you remember, the Lamatet Melechot aren't mentioned explicitly in the Torah anywhere. Why did it specifically talk about Havarat Eish? There's a big basic machloket about it. Tanakama Savar Lakarabi Yosi Damar Havara Lelav Yatzat. The reason why it says Lotaviru Eish is to say only in Lotaviru Eish it's a malacha that you're actually not chayav, kared, and skila. You only get malkot. It's just a lav. It's in a different category now. If it's just a lav and you don't get kare, well, then there's no chiyuv chatat. So according to this interpretation, why did Tanakama say you're only chayav one? Because you're not chayav for havara. You're only chayav for kibui. You're not chayav for havara. Okay? V'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok, Savar la k'Rabbi Natan, Damar havara l'chalek yatzat. And the other opinion that says you're chayav both, they said havara is one of the av malachot. Well, then you have to explain why was it singled out. The reason why it was singled out was to teach you that we single out malachot because each malacha is its own separate entity. It was to teach you an example for all the other malachot. But again, this is what we keep talking about. If you do several avot malacha on one Shabbat, let's say, forget about the issue of what if you do it on multiple Shabbatot, but which was a whole debate, right? Are you chayav for each Shabbat and Shabbat? But if you did a number of malachot and didn't know they were aser, or didn't know it was Shabbat, you're going to be chayav for each malacha a separate korban. Okay? That means it's lechalek yatzah. The reason why they wrote Havara was to teach you an example for all of them that each one is an individual isur. Okay? Which means each one is mechayev your korban separately. So that's the second interpretation about what the debate here is. Third interpretation, now we get to Rava, which was our case. Rav Amar lahakdim ika beinayu. The whole issue was he intended, again, let's say, first he wanted to light up the bottom ones and then put out the upper ones, and instead he did it in the reverse order. You know, while he was doing it, it happened in the reverse order. Okay, and then the whole, what's the debate then? Is, right, if you do things in the opposite order, are you still chayav a chatat for them, or are you not? Okay, Rav Ashi amar, kigon shenitchaven lechabot v'huvaru me'alehen. Rav Ashi says the case is you intended to put them out, and the other ones, right, it wasn't, this is the case, it wasn't inevitable that it was going to happen, that the other ones were going to light up on flame, but they did, okay? So that is Devar Shein of Kavin, that's not a psik reisha. Here you have a bit of a debate about the reality of the case. Could you possibly stoke the coals without, right? It could be depending on how big your fire is and what the situation is. There could be a case where it's inevitable, and there could be a case where it isn't inevitable. So this is a little like the first one, but the debate is Devar Sheinu Mitkavim, right? Tanakama Savarla Ki Rabbi Shimon, Damar Devar Sheinu Mitkavim Patur. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tzadok Savarla Ki Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Devar Sheinu Mitkavim Chayav. Right? So if you did the act without intending, right? So you didn't intend. So again, you're Chayav for sure on the kibbutz, because that you intended, but you're not necessarily Chayav on causing the bottom ones to light up on fire. So there we have four interpretations. And again, this whole thing was brought either to just show, it seems like it wasn't really brought for any purpose in the flow of the Gemara, but since we already had Rava who said that in our case, the machloket between them is order of actions, he actually says the same thing in another situation where there was again a debate about what exactly the machloket was. And now that we're already talking about coals and stoking the coals, here we have another braita. Tanu Rabbanan, ha-chotek chalim b'shabat li'tchamem b'hem. You stoke the coals, again, either you put the bottom ones on the, you know, you mix them up, or you took some off the fire. This makes more sense. You took them off the fire to warm yourself up with them. V'huvarume alehen, and then again, the bottom ones get lit up. Tanichad achayav v'tanya idach patur. Okay, so now, one Tana says you're chayav, and one Tana says you're patur. Haditanya chayav, now here they give a different example, okay? This is a real good Shabbos stuff. It's all about all these issues about melachot on Shabbat, all the basic categories of Davar Sheni Mitkaven, Mit'asek, Melacha Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa, now we're going to get to, okay? This is another category. Again, I can try to put them into categories, and I'll give you examples of them, but know that there's sometimes debates about crossover, about what cases actually fall into which category. So here they're going to say, that instead of saying it's Davar Sheni Mitkaven, they're calling this Melacha Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa. And the machloket is, Kasavra Melacha Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa Chayav Aleh, V'hadusana Patur, Kasavra Melacha Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa Patur Aleh. Okay, what's a malacha shein tzricha legufa? It's a malacha that you do something, but you didn't intend for the act. It's similar to davar shein mitkaven, because there wasn't intent, but it's that you're doing something, how do I say it? Right, where you're doing an act to cause, you want to do a particular act, and you don't, and there's a necessary, something else happens while you're doing it, but that's not your intent. Okay, you don't need that at all. You're doing a malacha also, let me say it better. You're doing the malacha in a way that the malacha was never intended to be done. Okay, so I'll give you an example. Okay, this is an interesting example. There's an issue, a halachic issue. Okay, I don't want to get into the halacha lamase about this, but I'll give you the theoretical. Don't get too worked up about this. If there's no eruv, there's a potential issue with going out with sanitary pads because you're carrying. Now, what is carrying? Okay, if there's no Eruv, so you're not allowed to take something into Rashut HaRabim, right? Now, you don't, it's not like you want to bring the sanitary pad into Rashut HaRabim, right? You don't care, you just need it there to protect your clothes from getting dirty. So there, it's a malacha, that you're doing the malacha of Hotzah, but not for the reason that the malacha was for. The malacha is for taking something from one place to another. Or you want to take a mate out of your house because it stinks, you know, the smell, it's bothering you. It's not that you want it outside the mate. You don't need it to be outside. You just don't want it where it is. Okay, that's a malach chance tzricha legufa. So they say that this case, right, where you're taking the gechalim, right, you're taking them off. One second, let me just get it clear here. Right. You know that when you take off, okay, this is what they claim here is you know that when you take off the coals, the bottom ones are going to light up. But your intent, right, your malacha is to take off the coals. What you're doing is to take off the coals. You're not intending it for the gechalim to be burning. That's not at all what you were trying to do. It's by doing one thing, something else happens that you weren't intending. So it's similar, but it's here you're, and what's happening is you're really burning them, right? One second. Theoretically, this is also Davar Sheni Mitkaven. But if it was Davar Sheni Mitkaven, it would be a psik ratio. It would be inevitable, and you'd be chayav. So the question is, why would someone say you're patur? Because they're going to say, even if it's inevitable, it's actually a crossover. It's both. Even though it's inevitable, it's going to happen, we don't really care. Because in the end, it's a malach shen tzricha legufa. That's if you hold malach shen tzricha legufa is patur. Because in the end, you were doing it to warm yourself up. You weren't taking the coals off to light the bottom ones. You were taking the coals off to warm yourself up. So because of that, the malacha of Havara that was done to the bottom coals was not, you weren't intending for it to light up for any purpose of the fire. You didn't need the fire. Okay? You needed the coals that you removed. So it actually ends up that this case is both. It's just in the Davar Sheni Mitkaven world, you'd actually be chayav because it's inevitable. But again, assuming it's an inevitable case. But because it's malach shein tzricha legufa, even though it's inevitable, it still comes under the other category of malach shein tzricha legufa. And if you say that's patur, then you'll be patur. Okay. Hajan alach sapek achal chelev, and now we'll start the next Mishnah, the next parak. It's pretty simple. after the complications of today's time. Achal, now we're going to make a distinction, and here also I try to make it even easier. There's blood that is forbidden for eating. How do we get to blood? Because remember, we were on the 36 things, Yuchayev Karet, for Chaylev, we're dealing with, and now we're dealing with dam. Achal dam shchita, the behema, the chayab of. If you eat dam from an animal slaughter, or right, an animal domesticated, undomesticated, or a bird, baint mingin, baint totally, whether they're tameh, impure, pure, it doesn't make a difference, or whether they're kosher or not kosher animals, okay, you're going to be chayav for eating blood. Dam nechira, if you stab an animal, you're also going to be chayav, right? Not kosher shchita. And you eat the blood, you're going to be chayav for eating blood. Dam ikur, okay, that's dam that comes if you uproot the two simanim, the trachea and the esophagus, and blood spurts out, you're going to be chayav if you eat that blood. Dam hakazah shaneshama yotzeit po. Okay, all those chayavim alav. What is that? From bloodletting, they were bloodlet. If someone were to die from the bloodletting, okay, the Gemara's going to have to say what exactly is this case, but if it's blood, if you just do regular bloodletting and it's right, usually it's considered good for the person, it's healthy, then that's not blood, you're going to be chayav. But if you take blood out and the neshama is tluya, not blood, and the person's going to die, or we'll see what it is exactly, then if it causes the neshama to leave, then chayavim alav. But dam atchol from the spleen, or dam halev from the heart, or dam beitzim, blood and eggs, or dam chagavim, or blood from grasshoppers, or dam hatamtzit, that's the blood that comes after the big spurt of blood. When you shecht an animal, there's the blood from the inside that comes out. Ein chayavin alav. All that blood, you're not chayav karet for if you eat it. Rabbi Yehuda machayev v'dam hatamtzit. Dafka dam hatamtzit, there's a machloket about are you chayav or not. So now where do we get this from? We'll start with this braita today. We won't finish it. It's a very long braita, but we'll get to the first part. Tanu Rabbanan, kol dam lo tochelu. It says you can't eat any dam. That sounds pretty much like any dam, right? So, shomeani afilu dam ha-cheshtayim. Sounds like, right, the human, right? To people who walk on 2 feet, okay? 2 legs. So, it sounds like even human blood, or dam beitzim, or dam chagavim, or dam dagim. It sounds like everything, akol bichlal. Talmud Lamar, therefore the Pasuk says, La of Vilabema. Okay, here it says, Kol dam lo tochlu, bechomash votechem, La of Vilabema. Tomorrow we're going to see why it says specifically La of Vilabema. It could have said one, you could have learned the other from the other. We're going to have one of those long, you know, klalu pratu klal case. Okay. Anyway, that's a sneak preview for tomorrow. But today we're going to say very simply, La of Vilabema. So we're going to have to say it's whatever's true for of Vilabema. Ma ofu beema miyuchadim sheyesh behem tumah kala v'tumah chamura. Okay, they have 2 levels of tumah. What does that mean? Well, the meat of an animal after you shecht it can become tameh. Remember, animals can't become tameh in their lifetime, but they can become tameh. That's a tumah kala. That's tumat ochlin. It can become tameh tumat ochlin. Tumah chamura is that if it dies without shchita, it's got tumah nevela, which is a more severe tumah. V'yesh behem yisur v'heter. Right, there could be kosher and non-kosher. V'hein min basar, their flesh. So therefore, anything that has the following categories. So tumah kala, what's going to be excluded? Otzi dam b'hacheshtayim. Humans don't have tumah kala. There's only more tumah chamura. The meat of a person doesn't become tamei tumat ochlin. There's no tumat, you know, it doesn't become food. Okay? Then it doesn't exist. So they're out. Sheesh b'hem tumah chamura v'ein b'hem tumah kala. Otzi dam shratzim she'ein b'hem tumah chamura. Okay, dam shratzim doesn't have tuma nevela. Okay, it's a sheretz, but it's not as chamor as tuma nevela. Otzi dam beitzim. Okay, so by the way, they say, right, shratzim aren't mitame adam and mitame begadim, whereas tuma nevela can be mitame a person and clothing, whereas shratzim is already a lower level tuma. Otzi dam beitzim, she'im min basar, there's no flesh. Dam dagim, dam chagavim, dikulo heter. Okay, those are entirely heter, which we're going to have to explain. Rashi says, "Lekaman and Amubet." We'll explain what that means. Dekulo heter. Okay, so there you have it. We now excluded all those cases that were excluded in the Mishnah. We explained where that came from the pasuk. Okay, and it all is learned out from the Ofel Beema. Only things that are like Ofel Beema, and all these damim are not like Ofel Beema in one of the categories that they established.